My next guest says there is a way to remove the spike protein from the COVID vaccine, and she's seen it happen in several case studies. Over the past few years, you probably know millions have reported lingering health problems after a COVID-19 infection or vaccination, from neurological issues, heart irregularities, vision changes. We've spoken about this at length. Well, today I'm speaking with Jen Dillon. She's a researcher and electronic homeopath who developed what's called the Homeopathic Spike Detox Protocol, or HSD. It's a therapy designed to help the body clear residual spike protein and help restore normal immune and cellular function. So I thought we should learn about this. Absolutely. Now, case reports using HSD describe striking improvements. A 53-year-old man whose severe myocardial dysfunction reversed after just a few weeks, a 70-year-old woman who regained her vision after chronic retinal edema, an older patient who says brain fog and balance issues erased after the therapy. So currently, they are seeking enrollment for a clinical trial. So if you have had vaccine-related issues, you might want to listen up. We're going to unpack this therapy, how it works, and what the evidence is currently that supports it. So Jen Dillon, thank you so much for joining us on Redacted.
Thank you, Natalie, for having me. It's an honor to be here. I'm really excited.
My pleasure. Absolutely. Yeah. So what did you think of the summary that I just made of the research that you sent? Did I get everything right? Is there anything you'd like to clarify before we move forward?
Well, these are initial case studies. This is an independent clinical trial, and I think it's really important because this is groundbreaking. This is grassroots. We've got Western medical professionals that are moving more to an integrative space, working along integrative practitioners and holistic practitioners, all together in a group, doing grassroots clinical trial with a new S1 immune subset blood test, which has markers based on the monocyte, the white blood cell for the spike protein, the synthetic protein that our body doesn't recognize and isn't able to break down on its own.
Okay, and so you have been able to measure blood tests before this protein or before this therapy and after. That's what you're saying, right? And
so yes, I mean, we're using several testing mechanisms. We're using an MCG cardiogram in cases where we're measuring the effectiveness against cardiovascular issues. We have a ophthalmologist who has an eye clinic in Texas. She used the OTC scan to measure an inflammation in a patient that had retinal edema, that was vaccine injured, had continued swelling and the retina, and ended up getting steroid-induced glaucoma after being put on steroids for 2 years, excuse me. And then we did this protocol, and we did a before and after with the OTC scan, and went from a 500 range down to a normal range of 200 in 8 weeks, which is phenomenal. And that gives a case for what this protocol has the potential to do against overall systemic inflammation in the body.
So why don't you explain to us how the homeopathic spike detox protocol came about? Was it based on existing homeopathic principles? And maybe explain a little bit what it is as well.
So this is an electronic homeopathic coded, signature coded frequency, and the carrier that we're using is sucrose. Some people use saline as carriers, some people use water. We're using sucrose. And the way that it works is basically we're sending signals programmed into sucrose. And then when that hits the body, it breaks down to fructose and glucose and gets into every tissue and every cell in the body, and hopefully generating a response, because we believe that long COVID, and what COVID is disrupted cellular frequency. So this is kind of a foreign concept to many people. I highly recommend a 2014 documentary called Water Memory. I think if people watched that, they would get the concept of what we're talking about here. What we're basically doing is trying to signal frequencies to ignite a response so the cells can start communicating again, because we believe that long COVID and COVID is cellular disruption.
Okay. And so can you, in short terms, give people an idea of how this would work? Say, if they were to sign up for your clinical trial, and you know, how there really is very little risk here because what you're delivering is essentially a sucrose pill. You can't hurt somebody with this.
No, it's either going to deliver a response and your body's going to kick in and remember what it's supposed to do, I guess, and start healing. Or generally, there's no response. So they can learn more by going to getdetoxed.us. Getdetoxed, detox.us. And there's videos on there. There's information about different published data on spike protein and why it's important for all of us to pull it out of our body. As far as I know, this is the only research where we're having promise for it actually removed from the monocyte. So we have a diagnostics lab, one of two, from my understanding, that has this test with markers based on the white blood cell. That's what we're using, so we can do a before and after. And then, of course, there's documented symptom relief, and we have over 20 practitioners participating in this independent clinical trial. And
And tell us how you came up with the idea of this throughout the pandemic. And I think you told me a story on the phone about a doctor who was in Chicago, I believe, who was feeling something and decided to test it on himself.
So, yes, that's Dr. Alan Bain. He is on our research team. He's an internal medicine doctor of over 30 years. And actually, people can go to his website because he's got information on the blood test if they want to find out about the blood test, because it's very important. I mean, most practitioners in the Western medical system are using an antibody test. And I'm sorry, but anybody can test high for antibodies. And there is a more accurate way, and that's the S1. And it is an N-cell DX test with three markers based on the monocyte for the spike protein. And you can go to docintheloop.com to learn about that test. And I think it's important that anybody that's doing research, and I know there's a lot of research going on behind the scenes, I'm sure we're not the only one. We're just having some really great success, and we're getting the receipts to back up that this protocol really can be effective. So,
But
I
this is
want
not a big pharma trial. This is something where you are using, you're sort of blending East meets West type clinical trial, right? And so
No, the
there's
practitioners I
no.
work with are amazing. They're donating their time and money. I've had doctors pay for people to get the blood test because they didn't have the money and they're vaccine injured. And there's not a lot of support for these people. So we are lucky, though, we do have a couple of donors that will privately fund the testing, because the testing, the remedy is not the expensive part, it's the testing, unfortunately. And there's really no grant money for this type of work. I mean, if people want to learn about bioelectricity and why this is really valid and very important, they should look up Dr. Michael Levine and his work.
And can you summarize that for us?
Yeah, I mean, basically, you change, it's bioelectricity, you change the morphology of your cells, and that would be a kind of an outcome in your bioelectricity. Like you're a battery. You're a walking battery, okay? So you're made up of, a high percentage of water, minerals. You need to be charged, right? So Dr. Levine is the only one I know that has done a lot of work on talking about molecular communication. And I guess the best way to explain that is to kind of watch his videos, look him up. The only other person that I actually followed for years that really inspired me to work with different frequencies and carriers would be Professor Luc Montagnier. And he was responsible for the documentary that I mentioned, Water Memory, in 2014. So there has been work going on behind the scenes. Just like with a cell phone, I'm going to use that as an example. Maybe that would be a good way to go about it. You get a signal, and the cell phone's the carrier. So we're using sucrose as a carrier. You can use saline as a carrier. So there's a cell phone and it's in your hand and you don't know how it works, but you get that cell phone receives a signal, right? And then what's the outcome of the signal? It's a frequency, and then you can communicate. Well, your cells are the same way. They receive a frequency. They either receive a disruption or they receive a frequency and they can communicate. And without the
And
proper frequency to communicate, then your system can't talk to your whole system. So the concept of the homeopathic spike detox is it's in four different systems. So you take four different protocols and you take it once a week because the frequencies play out about 7 days in the body. So we address the cardiovascular system, the neurological system, the digestive system, the respiratory system. And then ideally, if that signal communicates with all the other signals and they align, then your body can kick in and do its thing and heal itself and repair itself because it's aligned. I guess that's the best way to explain bioelectricity and
So
cellular
you're jump
communication.
starting the body's natural ability to kick out foreign objects, which is a lot of the theory behind acupuncture as well. I've done a lot of research
Exactly.
about that.
You hit it on the head. That's right. I
Okay.
guess
Right.
the difference in our case is that we've got Western medical professionals and alternative ones working together in a grassroots clinical study using diagnostic testing and writing case reports and documenting. So we don't have access to grant money, so we've pulled together and we're doing this research on our own. We do have a donation link on the website, getdetox.us, where people can donate anything they want. It's helpful. And we appreciate donations because we work with a lot of vaccine injured people that have lost their entire lives. They have no jobs. They can barely get out of bed. They have everything from neurological disorders to cardiovascular disease. Some of them have POTS and they can't even get up. They pass out. We have seen some horrific things from the mRNA shots and COVID itself. And that's another thing I'd like to talk about. What we're learning so much. This is important research and we do need support for it. We are seeing people that didn't take an mRNA shot test positive for spike protein. They don't usually test positive for all three markers, but they can test positive for one or two markers. Dr. Bain will share his story openly. He tested positive for a marker and he has his own story where he struggled with long COVID until finding this protocol and getting involved in the study.
Are you suggesting that he received the spike protein from shedding or from the COVID infection?
So I do believe in the theory of shedding. Actually, I don't think it's a theory. I believe there's an FDA document that talks about mRNA and shedding, but that would be from actually touching the mRNA directly. So there's a lot of theories out there, but I can honestly tell you we are finding spike protein in individuals that did not take an mRNA shot. So whether it's in the air or airborne, we can't honestly say. I mean,
Okay.
who
And
knows?
is it possible to have had it from the COVID infection itself?
I believe so.
Okay.
I believe so.
Okay. And so, since the CDC continues to warn us about new COVID infections, there's a new strain. They're saying, we're heading into the fall. This is highly infectious, but not more serious or lethal or prone to hospitalizations, but we know that it's something they're warning us about. Is your therapy intended as a one-time detox or an ongoing therapy?
Great question. Thank you for asking that. We recommend it once or twice a year. It's 8 doses over 8 weeks. And we're finding that people that have been COVID vax injured that are severely ill, they need to take it more frequently. And then people that maybe just contracted COVID once or twice a year is fine. we do feel like there is some exposure continuing to go on, and that's going to be, more research that we're going to be collecting to look at. Everything's about the research, right? So if, I wish we had access to more funding, but this is where we are. And this is why, everybody needs to realize we're in this together and start having more, I guess, positive conversations on solutions. Because, just like this could be a potential huge solution, I know that there's other research going on behind the scenes. So one thing I don't like is to come on and say something that's going to make somebody, fearful. I don't want to give a message of fear. I want to give a message of hope. I don't think there's enough of that in this realm right now. And I feel like, everybody needs to understand there's always a way. When something horrible happens, something good usually happens too. So there's other research going on. This is a great solution. This is something people can try and not worry about any adverse reactions. They can go to getdetox.us, or they can go to docintheloop.com and learn more and get involved. And we ask them to, and we want practitioners involved. We'd like to, anybody that's genuinely interested in learning more, having access to this blood test, helping others, and if they're willing to donate, they have to be willing to donate some of their time to be part of this. But if that's who they are, we want them. We want them to participate. We want to help people. We want to get more cases. We want to expand the research.
Right. I mean, you're not really going to get a ton of interest in some of these politically co-opted medical journals. They won't be interested if it's not based on a big pharma solution. I mean, I know I read JAMA every day because I get their newsletters and they're full of political junk. So are you aiming for that, or you just want some more solid research that you can present to the public?
Dr. Peter McCullough and I had a conversation about that. He mentioned $6,000 a page to publish, and they can turn around and redact you.
Yes, they did to him. Absolutely, they did that.
I don't think that that's something that we collectively, this group of providers I'm working with, I don't believe that's something that we really even care about at this point.
Okay, it's not a goal, and it wouldn't be a lofty one at that. I mean, this morning I was reading a JAMA article. This is crazy talk that talked about how to introduce injectable GLP-1 weight loss drugs to adolescents,
Oh, Lord.
even though there's no, for the short term, even though there's no research whatsoever on how to safely go off of GLP-1. So they're just having a wish list of how they can continue to put these kids in the pharmacocratic state. So, I mean, even getting published in a journal like that would not be validating in any way, shape, or form. That's my opinion, but I understand what you're saying. It's not a goal.
I completely agree with you. And this is why I'm so excited about the research we're doing, because these are amazing souls, all of these practitioners, and they're all coming together and they're doing it because they want solutions. They want to help people. They're donating a lot of their time. I don't want to give people the impression that this is a free clinical trial. We don't have that kind of funding. We ask people to pay for the testing and the protocol. The enrollment fee is $200, which includes an 8-week protocol, and then you get monitored with one of the practitioners. And then the tests, we have a negotiated rate on the testing, and it's $360. And we like to do several of the blood tests. It's really important. In some cases, we might ask somebody to do an MCG cardiogram if it's a cardiovascular issue and have them pay for that. If people are not in a position and they're sick and they can't pay for these tests, then we put them on a list and we try to find a donor. That's what we're doing. We
Amazing.
don't turn people away.
Okay, great. So you can find out more at getdetox.us. What would you say to someone who feels stuck after a COVID vaccination and hasn't really found relief? What are some of the stories? Because we know that the medical profession was not trained to help vaccine injured for any vaccine, not just the COVID vaccine. So, what would you say to someone like that?
There's hope. Don't give up hope. Stay strong. If whatever it takes for you to stay strong is really important. As soon as you give up, that's an energetic response to shut down. So don't give up. There is a lot of research going on behind the scenes that mainstream's not discussing. A lot of people didn't even know there's a blood test. It's not being told with markers for the spike protein. So we're
Yeah.
working with that. And stay strong. There are a lot of things coming to the forefront, and there is hope. And this research hopefully will give more hope. But attitude is everything, so don't give up.
So I'll let you end with, I gave a summary of some of these success stories that you've seen, but maybe you choose your favorite and you can end this interview by telling us all of that since you want to keep us on a positive note. That would be fantastic.
I think one of my favorites was a case study that's actually on our website. I'm just going to call her Case Study Jackie. And she was extremely lethargic, had taken two shots, was working in the education system, and went right away and felt, like she needed to get the two vaccines. And she ended up with a heart murmur, I believe, and extreme fatigue and shortness of breath, couldn't even climb the stairs. And I think what is amazing, and I'm not going to say because I can't, that she wasn't diagnosed with any disease, and we're not making any claim that this would reverse that. But symptomatically, she reported through her case that she got her energy back and she got her breath back, and she didn't realize until after doing the 8-week protocol that she had issues with tasting things. She said all of a sudden her taste buds were there. They were back. And she didn't even realize it had been so long that she didn't have all her taste buds. And she went back to the doctor, and the heart murmur didn't show up. And she went up to a local resort and had to climb up a hill, and she wasn't out of breath, and she couldn't believe it. And then she ended up going to her dentist, and she shared the story that she was a baby every time she went to the dentist. And they're like, oh no, here comes Jackie, and
Yeah.
she was really always inflamed and sensitive. And she went in to get her checkup and her cleaning, and the assistant brought the dentist into the room and said, what have you done? And she goes, what do you mean? And he said, the inflammation is gone. You're always so inflamed, and you don't have the inflammation anymore, in your mouth. What did you do? We want to know. And she was like, whoa, I did this protocol. I bet it's the
Yeah.
protocol, HSD protocol. So I think
Amazing.
that was one of the first case studies that we had, and she was local to my town, and I felt like, wow, this has potential.
That's
So,
so great.
yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. Again, I want to let you know that you can find out more about Jen and her studies and her HSD protocol at getdetoxed.us. So thank you so much for coming to share this with our community. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Natalie. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure.